I didn't. My teacher, he gave us a room, right? Because we lived in the house, but he didn't give us heater for the first year.
See,
so you, we get the unheated room.
So Juan, the hot room. Juan was telling me about his apprenticeship, and he said that he lived in the house with his master
and his master's
four kids.
What?
We were human ladders for the kids.
He was a jungle gym. Apparently, they were allowed in your room as well.
Oh, yeah. They could trample on top of us while we were sleeping. But it was fun. I mean, they're good kids.
And his master's
that would be my breaking point.
Uh-huh. Also lived there?
Oh, she's like supreme leader, you know? Like, you could be working on a, you know, plus $50,000 tree. And if she says, clean up this garbage, you drop what you're doing and you go clean up the garbage.
That's so
She's the boss. She's
That's
the
so
boss
tight.
Of the boss.
That's so
That's
tight.
Awesome.
Elders.
Yeah.
How many apprentices were there?
Three. It was, my teacher has had, first foreign apprentice was Peter T. from California, then me, then John Milton, then Danny Coffey, now Aaron from the National Bonsai Museum, and Martin from Chile. And Martin is the guy that kind of filled in my shoes when I left. You have to bring in a guy. You can't just leave your boss shorthanded.
You had to like recruit somebody?
Yeah, and train them.
And train them?
Yeah, so that kind of extended my stay for three extra months. But I already knew that was the deal. I mean, Peter did the same thing for me.
That's so funny.
How did you recruit someone?
It just happened, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like I proactively sent out emails or requests or anything. It's just serendipity, you know. He sent an email, and he actually had it professionally translated in Japanese, and my teacher was really impressed, and he said, well, talk to this guy and invite him over, and let's work with him. And he ended up being a really good apprentice. I mean, it's all about attitude, because nobody expects you to know anything from day one. I mean, they will break you and delete whatever bonsai bad habits you have with you, and they will mold you in their image. And it's quite an experience to be humbled in that way, kind of let go of who you are and what you want. And because the reality is that as young bonsai practitioners, at least I think that my generation relied heavily on books and internet. There were not a lot of professionals around, at least where I grew up, which was Costa Rica. So you had to be self-taught in a way. Mm. And that leads to mistakes and misconceptions. So having to give that up and just kind of empty your vessel so that you can fill it up again. That's a change of mindset, I think.
Mm-hmm. And who was your master? So everyone
my
knows?
Teacher's name is Junichiro Tanaka from Aichien, Nagoya. We're kind of halfway between Tokyo and Osaka, middle of Japan. My teacher's nursery, it's 120 some years old. So he's a fourth generation bonsai master. There's pretty old trees there. I mean, trees that have been bonsai for plus 150 years or more.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And what brought you there? Like, how did you get? I mean, we always like to dive into Ryan's story, and
this is why I wouldn't let you tell me at dinner the other night.
Really? Mm-hmm. You had this plan all along.
I did.
Did you interrupt him?
Yeah, we were at Jake's in Portland, like, and I just
finish that beer. Finish that beer. Don't tell me that story.
The time will come, Juan.
You'll know.
You'll know when the time is right.
How did you fall into it? Or step into it, or
growing up, they used to call me Little Grasshopper because I had a little shaved head and like kind of like squinty eyes like a Japanese. And I did karate when I was young.
Martial arts connection.
Yeah, I did karate for 10 years.
Strong.
I've never had to use it, luckily. Anyway, I got into
lucky for them.
When I got into college, I didn't have enough time to train 4 or 5 days a week, which is what I was doing. So I decided to pick up a hobby that didn't require as much time as karate. Mm. And of course, I chose the wrongest hobby.
Yes, you did.
Probably a misconception.
Yeah, yeah, that was a misconception.
Chose
course.
Cancer.
And that was about the time that the Karate Kid movie came out. So that really pumped me into doing bonsai.
There it is.
I wanted to study in Japan since I was 15, 16 years old, and nice. I was knocking on doors for 15 years.
What do you mean knocking on doors?
Asking people.
Asking right, who?
Asking many people.
Who do you ask?
Well,
that was my question. Who do I ask? Who's going to get me to Japan? How did you figure it out?
What I figured out is that you have to go there and ask. Mm. Nobody can like forge that relationship for you. If you go with somebody who is trusted by that bonsai family or by that professional, of course, you know, they will, that relationship, you know, plays in your favor. But you have to be there. I mean, there's no closed gates if you're there and if you're polite and know the language and know your way around. I mean, yeah, that's daunting, leaving your country and just
did you know the language?
No. No, I mean...
So you screwed up.
Yeah, yeah, huh. Big time. But Tanaka-san, he had... his English is pretty good.
Yeah. Way better than Japanese. And nobody knows Japanese when they go outside of Japanese apprentices.
And for me, it was interesting because his... Well, Japanese sounds exactly like Spanish, so his talking, his idioms, his expressions, I picked up on that pretty fast. Mm. So my conversations with him, I can understand 95% of what he says. I go to another nursery, and it's other expressions, other idioms, even other words that they use. So then I'm fish out of the water. But with him, because I had that relationship with him for 3 years, I just know how he talks.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, very language, nursery-specific vocabulary.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
very
even bonsai terms. Yeah. Bonsai terms change a lot. Yeah. I mean, I asked him, like, hey, how about this? Do you call this way? For example, you know, jin and shari. My teacher calls everything shari. There's no such thing as jin for him, for example. You know, some very simple example.
Yeah. Mm. So I want to go back just a minute. Did you pick Mr. Tanaka... Did you pick Mr. Tanaka, or was it your...
My path led me there.
Okay, so your relationship with Peter T. Mm. Peter T. studied with Tanaka, right? Mm-hmm. You studied at Boone's.
For a couple of weeks, yes.
For a couple of weeks in California. You met Peter there.
I met Peter there. Prior to that, I had gone to Puerto Rico for a world convention that happened there in 2000. That was 2009, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I met Shinji Suzuki there.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, like I personally asked him. He said he was full at the time, and he recommended me to go to Japan, visit Japan, learn the language, which, you know, sound advice, of course. Then somebody recommended me, hey, you should study with Boone because he's recommended a lot of people to Japan. So I go to Boone's house. I work there for, you know, a couple of weeks prior to his... I think it was his 10th anniversary BIB show.
Mm.
I met Peter T there, and we had this really good relationship right from the start, which I'm really appreciative of. He was a very, I think even, well, of course, even bigger than Boone. He was I would say he's one of my biggest bonsai influences.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
His work and the way he does things.
Nice.
And of course, that feeds off from what he learned from Boone and Mayo Yakata.
Sure.
But I think it's important to realize, and this was hammered to me by my teacher. We discussed earlier that in Japan, in some nurseries, they don't allow you to go elsewhere. It's like taboo visiting other nurseries because you might get, you know, really impressed by their work, or you might get swayed away in other directions and maybe start business relationships, which you shouldn't be starting out without your teacher's consent. But anyway, my teacher was really pushy in the sense of go to other nurseries, see other styles, learn other things that I'm not able to teach you. And that's because he learned from his grandfather's trees that were there and he took care of while he was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
He learned from his father. He learned from his oyakata. He learned from his senpai.
Mm-hmm. Who's Tanaka's oyakata?
Toru Suzuki from Daijuen, famous Black Pine Nursery, where supposedly decandling was discovered or developed, or at least one of the first nurseries to start decandling black pines.
Yeah, the grandfather was a genius. The origin of the Zuisho.
Yeah, where the genesis place of the Zuisho white pine.
Probably the most prominent needle juniper.
Soryu, that double trunk needle juniper, which is incredibly dense.
Juniper as a species, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ties you in.
Lineage still runs deep. Still a staple of that area of sure. bonsai. However, I think, and this is just, you know, personal observation, I think that in the next decades, Aichien will grow past that staple, I think. Just the scope of my teacher's work and just the sheer amount of trees that he's building. I mean, Daijuan is not that they're subsiding in size, but they're just not growing. Aichien just keeps growing and growing growing.
They're caught at a point without a tree creator at the helm, yeah?
Yeah, they need it.
You got to have a tree. You got to have a tree maker.
And that's...
Otherwise, that's, trees don't get made.
And that's why nurseries shift from tree making to tree dealing.
Vending.
Yeah, for sure.
The broker mentality is destroying the maker mentality in Japan, for sure.
I definitely but you know saw what? The difference of that.
Yeah.
They're in a situation, but, you know, their market is well-stocked. Mm-hmm. So, for sure, there's ample opportunity for the tree maker, but maybe for them, financially speaking, is just, you know, the faster buck to turn a tree around. But it's not really what... I didn't get into bonsai for that. You didn't get into bonsai for that.
No, you'd be an idiot to get into bonsai for that. Yeah. I think the other interesting thing about Japan is clientele isn't expanding, but you're right. Clientele is stocked, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're just watching the demise of generation-old nurseries as a result of a failure to...
And you see...
modernize or change the way they go about business or introduce a new clientele or practice in a way that could potentially expose bonsai to a population that isn't looking at traditional aspects of culture as appealing, right?
You see younger people trying to reach out for the younger professionals, trying to reach out for the younger audiences. But even then, they're shut down by the older people as not real professionals, not real bonsai men.
This is Masashi, yeah?
Yeah. And he's reaching out and he's doing something that nobody else is doing.
Do you know who we're talking about?
I do not know.
What's his last name? Masashi Hirao?
Masashi Hirao, Saburo Kato's last apprentice.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And he was just nominated like Time Magazine in Japan, top 100 most influential people or something.
As a bonsai professional?
As a bonsai professional.
Wow, that's awesome.
But also as a performance artist.
So he's taken bonsai into the performance art realm. He'll do like demonstrations in the middle of like a rave.
Yeah,
or like a very traditional, you know, like Obon Festival. He'll do a performance or to a DJ or... you know, shows his work in odd places, and he's gone totally off the Richter scale, and everybody just poos all over him in the bonsai community, and it's like,
but everybody that does something different, that's the first impression, and then it becomes
so funny though. Yeah. He's having more success than anybody in the bonsai world, and all they want to do is try and just talk about how illegitimate it is. It's freaking hilarious. It's like, yeah, cool. You keep on starving to death over there, all right? I'm good over here. Peace. I'm tight. Time seems to think I'm doing just fine. Word.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
that I've heard awesome. That name somewhere. The Hirao.
But still,
Harry Hirao in the United States.
We need everybody. We can't afford to burn bridges. We can't afford to burn bridges because what's going on in Japan is the same, let's say, bonsai population. Or the same number of trees, they're just being switched around by nurseries because nobody's making bonsai anymore.
Yeah, it's true, huh?
Nursery takes up a tree, fixes it up a little bit, sells it to somebody else, they change the pot, sells it to somebody else, and they might cut off a branch, make a little chari, and everybody's making that small gain of, you know, profit, that profit margin of that little bit of work. But really, that's not neither bringing a tree forward to where it needs to be.
Yeah.
And the whole production is just stagnant.
Yeah. Talking about Japanese bonsai literally ruins my day. So let's keep going.
Let's change subjects.
Tell me about your tell me about your background in biology. Not because Japanese bonsai needs to be discounted, but it's so lacking optimism.
That's why you left.
It's literally, you know, the world is your oyster outside of Japan, and in Japan it's literally like going to bonsai jail. But Juan,
and there it is.
You are.
We do not hold punches on the podcast.
No, no. There's no reason to. Let's be transparent here. Let's be genuine. You're taking a new approach to tropicals. You're living in Florida. You're from Costa Rica. You have a background in biology. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
Talk about that. Talk about. I mean, you're the only other bonsai professional I've ever met. And this is not to toot my own horn, it's totally by accident that I got a horticulture degree, but it made a huge difference for me. And I hear you speak in the same language as I speak, and I'm like, oh, this dude knows.
Well, thank you.
Big help.
Of course, my parents wanted me to, you know, be a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer or, you know, whatever endeavor I could, you know, in which I could use this big head of mine, this big forehead.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went into biology, right? And they're like, why did you go into biology? I'm like, I just like plants, right? Deep down inside, I knew I was going to use this in bonsai because growing up, learning with different people, I stumbled upon a lot of misinformation that I just simply wanted the knowledge and the ability to discern what was true, what was untrue.
Come
this guy's tired.
Inside.
Yeah. This guy's tired of listening.
Relax.
COVID mascot.
So I went into biology school and I focused on mycorrhizae, root growth, epiphytes.
Cool.
And that was close to 7 years, 7 years of my life.
Wow.
And when I was too deep down the rabbit hole, I said, well, I need to eat, right? So I got a, you know, regular office job in kind of biology, became like my past life. And then I got bit by the bug again, you know, like I want to go to Japan. I want to do this. Seriously, I cannot. I'm not happy or realized as an individual if I just let this slip. Because by that point, I was 26, 27, and it was like 10 years since I had been like I said, knocking on doors and just getting no's.
Interesting. Do you feel like your background in biology helps you?
Yeah, for sure.
Informs
for
your
sure.
approach.
Yeah. Basically, when you get a degree in sciences, you get a vocabulary, right? But it's not really the vocabulary, but the understanding of the relationships between those contents and concepts that allows you to pick up literature and just see where the state of science is in that particular branch.
Yeah.
And then also helps you to reason and maybe try to, you know, fix your own little challenges, horticultural challenges or biological challenges. And that's where, you know, tying these concepts together becomes critical, which is something you can't really do when you, let's say, read Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You have to have gone through, you know, that it's the same thing as bonsai. You have to go through training.
Yeah.
Not physical training, but in this case, you know, academic training.
I agree. I totally agree. To be able to deduce knowledge, right?
Yes, exactly.
To take a bunch of points of information, connect them, and actually come up with a theory.
You can read articles, right? And you can like just recite them back and forth, but to relate them, see the mistakes in procedures or methodology, and see where the new directions in research should be taken. Yeah, that's what scientists do. Luckily for me, I didn't go down that route. Mm-hmm. And I ended up doing what I love, which, you know, it's a decision that I wouldn't change for, you know, $1 million.
Nice. What about design?
Design-wise, well, my father was a big influence. He's a sketch artist, watercolor painter. He designed product presentations for the Costa Rican market. So I was exposed, packaging.
Cool.
I was exposed to that since I was a kid. I never formally studied design, but, you know, I also picked up drawing and painting from him, which is not something that I never really explored because at that point my sister was exploring it. I was the nerdy guy. I was not the artsy guy in the family, but I still have that artsy vein.
Tight.
So wait, your dad was a designer?
He was a designer.
But he wanted you to be a doctor or
it was no. That was my seriously very powerful tempered mom. Mm.
Ah, the matriarch. Yeah.
You all know that.
There it is.
And it was funny because one day I was just banging away at my bonsai midnight. And I just saw somebody, poke out the window, see what I was doing in the yard so late. And later my father told my mom, see, I told you he's going to be an artist, even if he doesn't realize it.
That's awesome. Dad's proud.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, when I broke him the news that I was going to Japan, he was like, this breaks my heart because I know you. It's very possible that you might end up staying there.
Mm.
Yeah, my mom, she was like, just go and do your thing, do your dream. By that time, she was already aware and accepting that you can make a living out of this.
Hmm.
I mean, it's a different culture, different market, Yeah, different.
You can make a living out of this.
Dude, asking that in...
right?
It's possible.
Asking that question in Costa Rica 10 years ago, that was like, you're crazy. You're mad.
I bet.
You're mad.
I bet it hasn't changed much.
Yeah. Things have changed.
Hmm.
Is it bigger there now?
In the Central Valley, I would say there's 5 or 6 bonsai, let's call them nurseries, quote unquote, 30 minutes away from each other.
Wow.
So there's interest.
Nice.
Sure.
Yeah. And is it a collaborative community, or do they also kind of stick to their own and don't let each other go to visit each other?
Like every little bonsai ecosystem, it has a mind of its own.
Mm.
So you have alliances, you have bridges, then you have people that burn bridges.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fair. Just common human
tricky
nature.
Human dynamics.
Damn it.
Yeah, damn it.
Interesting. Do you think growing up and being from Costa Rica influences your bonsai approach now?
Yeah, definitely. It's a very diverse country in terms of biomes, ecosystems, plant species. I mean, we're pretty much the bridge between North America and South America. So this is where every species tried to meet and cross over to the north, or cross over to the south.
Mm.
We got oaks. We have magnolias. We have high altitude bogs, wetlands with sphagnum, and we have tropical rainforests. We have cloud forests. We have dry savannas. We have volcano environments.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that about Costa Rica.
Yeah.
There's a big change in large change in elevation and short distances.
Mm.
So terrain's very rugged. Definitely you want to drive around in a 4x4. But interesting, because it's such a small place with so many altitude changes, that creates microclimates.
Yeah.
And that of course favors speciation.
Sure.
Dude, it's a jungle.
Wow. I mean,
you can find new bonsai species all day long, and nobody knows how to work on them.
Wow. That you just final basically frontier. Sounds like heaven.
Do you do
Costa
a lot
Rica
of
trip? Yeah. So awesome. Mariah team trip to Costa Rica, huh?
Let's do it.
Juan's going to be guiding us.
You're welcome.
You're do you do welcome. A lot of experimentation with species that?
Yeah, definitely. I collected a lot of quirky odd things from rainforest. When you have such a diverse, let's say, environment to work on, it's interesting to see how different species fill the same niche, ecological niches, in the same way. So you guys know ficus, mostly epiphytes growing, they start out as epiphytes growing on top of other trees.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of other epiphytes that, functionally start that way. Hmm. So... yeah, when I was collecting, my collecting is not done from rocks. My collecting is done high up in the trees, from trees that grow on top of other trees.
Oh, whoa.
So they grow on pockets between branches, and they get stunted.
Get out of my face. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Dude, that is
awesome.
We gotta go get a
and
harness
so far,
on and just climb
so
up
far
the
that I know that I know of, nobody has done epiphyte style, which is, you know, a tree that has grown on top of another tree and is slowly choking it.
You shouldn't have said that one. Yeah. You shouldn't have said that. I mean, granted, probably the only place you could do it is a tropical region, would you assume?
Probably. Yeah, yeah. To keep both plants alive and well and growing strong.
Definitely.
Why aren't you
the birth
doing
of
that?
A new idea right there.
Yeah. We have greenhouses.
Yep. You gonna do it?
Yeah, I will.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah, I will.
How about deal. How no about a little kind of cash, you know? Got a whole new idea here.
Bougainvillea.
Sounds cool.
Ficus fusion.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
There
wow.
it is.
What?
Wow.
What would you name it?
Wow. Two trees intertwined into one. Yeah. That would be that would
yeah.
be cool.
What would you call that?
Yeah, what would you call it?
Something new. I asked my teacher once.
We'll ponder
like,
on it. We'll
what,
come back at the end. We need a
favilia.
I asked my teacher once, define bonsai. What is bonsai for you? Just be short and sweet. And he said, bonsai is free. He didn't even say freedom because he doesn't know that much English. He just said, bonsai is free.
Mm.
That is what it's supposed to be.
You know, it was interesting looking at your work that you posted when you were apprenticing, number one, because like you were allowed to post it. That's just fascinating to me. My world as Mr. Kimura's apprentice was entirely closed.
Yeah,
right?
Closed, completely
was,
shut off. You don't show what you're doing.
No,
here.
You were. It was like being a monk, right? Hmm. So seeing your work as you were apprenticing, and also seeing Tanaka's work, you know how to, he does have a lot of kind of whimsical creativity in mm-hmm. his work, which yeah. is really refreshing to see yeah. in Japan. But it's interesting that somebody functioning in a traditional model as the Japanese community and having to create trees that satisfy that demand
mm-hmm.
would say bonsai is free, because he's literally practicing bonsai at the most constrained, neck down, bottlenecked version
area.
Of what you could be, you know, pursuing bonsai with. Like if he moved outside of Japan, it would be mm-hmm. crazy to see what would happen. I wonder if he could deviate from that, but... Do you feel a lot of freedom being out of Japan?
Definitely.
You
do? Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just barely starting to get used to it because mm-hmm. as you know, you get hammered into shape, pounded into shape, into their shape.
Institutionalized.
Yeah, institutionalized. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is not the way we do branches. This is not the way we do apexes. This is not the way we do branch angles.
Right.
You know, you don't do tense designs, you do dynamic designs. We don't like tense designs because they look funny.
Mm.
That's
which
that's,
is just his preference, right?
Yeah, which is just his yeah. stylistic preference, huh. right?
Interesting.
You don't wire black points this way, you wire them this way. The white points, you make them more soft, you don't make them as rigid. You
right.
know, and every nursery has its own little chest of secrets and tricks and techniques
yeah.
that is worth investigating.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a closed world. Probably will change with the next generation and new people, new bonsai people in Japan, realizing that they need to learn English, they need to open up, they need to open their doors to the outside world, and
yeah.
that's how they will survive.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. Mr. Kimura told me one time when he finished his apprenticeship, which was a very contested finality to his apprenticeship at Tojuin in Omiya, he went down to Nagoya to... I believe Kamiya was in Nagoya.
Kamiya, yeah.
And I think he said he went to Kamiya's place to kind of like basically observe how he handled black pines,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yeah. he saw, I think Kamiya's handling of pines is maybe a better way than Toju or just expanded, you know, mm-hmm. his mm-hmm. arsenal and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting for Mr. Kimura to divulge that he had sought direction outside of his own, you know, closed mind.
Kamiya, and a lot of people refer to him as one of the best in the area.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
If not one of the best in Japan in
yeah.
his time.
Yeah. He brought the heat for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Kamiya was...
So how long has it been since you came back?
Yeah.
Since I came back? I graduated May last year. Oh. But my teacher told me I was free to go if I wanted to since kind of October 2015. Then I told him, well, it's kind of busy time. I want more experience wiring, seeing exhibitions, seeing, and helping out, of course, set up Taikenten, Meifuten, Kokufuten. Then repotting season comes around and you're busy every day. You need all the help you can get. Plus, I had to find a replacement. So that from the moment in which he gave me the thumbs up, I think it was a close to 6 months stretch of me preparing to leave.
How long were you there total?
3.5 years.
You feel like it was enough?
I wish to go back. I wish to go back. It's a chest of knowledge.
Why does Tanaka kick you guys out early?
Why? His apprenticeship was not common because he grew up in a bonsai nursery. So I think he did 3.5 or 4 years in Daijuan.
Uh-huh.
And then he started working with his father.
Uh-huh.
And started working with, of course, you know, Daijuan is 90% black pines, right?
Sure.
So that last year, he started working with a professional that knew deciduous. So I feel that in a way, if you have previous bonsai knowledge or at least some experience, he will take that into account for your apprenticeship.
Mm.
As in, I mean, you already know how to repot. You already mm-hmm. know how to cut back trees. You understand some fundamentals of wiring and styling. I think that the people that have been sent away from Aichien early, it's because they had somewhat of an innate talent for this in the same way that he did. Mm-hmm. So he wants them to experience the world and make that part of their formation as professionals.
Hmm.
Because at some point, of course, when you get the news, you're like, damn, I'm not ready. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready. I want more.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first impression. I'm like, did I do something wrong? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, you're fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep practicing more. You just need more exposure. You just need to... You practice on Japanese species, go practice on American species.
Mm-hmm.
You practice on tropical species for 20 years. I got nothing to teach you on tropical species. You're teaching me both Buenbilias and Ficus. That's what he said.
Mm.
So he taught me what he knew. And I guess he thought that the time was right.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of other apprentices choosing to leave early because I would say the competition here is getting pretty heated.
In the United States?
Yeah, and some people, I think, I've heard them coming back early to, you know, be part of that movement, be part of that race. Mm. Some people have chosen to stay there for a long time. Bjorn, an example. Mm. Well, Matt stayed there for a long time. Mm. You did your full-term apprenticeship with Kimura-san with mm-hmm. A thank you year,
yeah,
as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So really, there's no set guideline for apprentice time other than your Oyakata's decision. Now, the association certificate, that's a completely different thing.
Do you have that?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Because you need the 5 years, you need your teacher's blessing, but it seems like you need some, I would say, some political leverage as well.
Mr. Kimura,
and I don't want to dwell into that, but I've seen people get that certificate that, I don't know. I feel that they're lacking.
Mr. Kimura told me that if I was there to get that certificate, he told me this my first day of apprenticeship. He said, if you want that certificate, we'll go get it for you right now and you could go home and save yourself 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, Tide, I don't need the certificate. He's like, I didn't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. My teacher said, if you want the certificate, I mean, I have my certificate. I have it in a drawer somewhere and it says nothing about what I can do.
Uh-huh.
What is this certificate? Like, what? Oh, why is it significant?
It's like a...
Just like a stamp.
From the Nippon Bonsai Association.
Mm. Oh, okay.
It's a recognition of...
time spent. It's just...
Level? Status?
I don't know.
Something? You know what I think it is? A good way to have another stream of revenue for the Nippon Bonsai Association.
Yeah.
For sure.
Sure.
For
there's sure. There's tons of equivalents in other fields.
I hear stuff I like hear that, that
certifications
you can
exactly.
That, yeah, that don't.
I hear that also you can pay for a membership without having a certificate,
exactly,
which
yeah.
is you don't do 5 years but you pay 10,000.
That's right. There are plenty of foreigners out there that hold a Nippon Bonsai Association mm-hmm. certificate that you're like, "Wait, what?"
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden for somebody who's done a full apprenticeship, you look at it and you're like, well, Yeah, what? Why does that matter? Mm-hmm. Like, if they have it,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean anything to have it, right? It mm-hmm. just devalues the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And that I think, another shady move on the rain cloud of the Japanese bonsai professionals.
Well, we moved on from that subject, right? We just keep falling.
It's hard, man. Yeah. Bonsai funnels. It all funnels back. We got to start calling it something else, and then we can get away from it.
See, those are the two things we need by the end of the podcast. The name of your creation.
The name of the new creation and the new name for bonsai. Mm-hmm.
The new adjective or goals. Verb. Or
that's right. Goals. Noun. Goals to focus on. 20 minutes, go.
Trees. I don't use the word bonsai. Just trees.
That's true. That's usually how we're going. But is even...
Did you see that bonsai? No, you saw that tree. Mm. That's a tree right there.
Oh,
that's
like
an effing tree.
I like that.
Oh, nice.
I like that.
Put it in the hat.
I like that.
I like that.
It's tough, man. It's tough. It's interesting. Having been back from Japan for 7 years, obviously Michael Hagedorn was in the United States prior to me. Boone had studied, you know, with mixed results with Mitsuya and then with Kamiya, right? For relatively short periods of time, you know, and Kathy had studied with Mitsuya on and off, not consistently for a period of time. So it was interesting going there and being immersed for 6 years. Peter Warren also being at Shunkayan at that same time of being immersed and kind of, you know, Mike Hagedorn was two.
Were
and
there
half,
many foreigners at that time? Like you
no,
and
there
Mike?
Weren't. No, there weren't. There weren't many foreigners at all. You know, it kind of, as I was finishing up my apprenticeship, it was expanding. You saw a lot more foreigners. Obviously, Taisho-en down in Shizuoka had a lot of Spanish and European people coming. But it was interesting to see. It was interesting to see the impact of the prolonged period of time as an apprentice on perspective and whatnot, you know, like living in that institutionalized, really regimented environment for a prolonged period of time, both on Peter and myself, you know, getting to share that experience. And then obviously Bjorn and Matt and some of those other guys have had that same experience.
It's a blessing to have, all a friend to rely on. John Milton was that guy for me.
Yeah.
We started our apprenticeship at the same time. He went on to do the full 5-6 years time. He got married in Japan. He's got a kid now.
Wow. Does he live there still?
He lives there still. He's working with my teacher as a paid professional.
Uh-huh.
Which is a good thing. I mean, at some point I thought that was going to be what I was going to do.
Uh-huh.
But things... I asked my teacher at one time, like, would you want me staying here? And he said, no.
Mm.
And asked him why.
Cold.
Said, well, Japan too small for you.
Cold. Cold.
And I'm like, I just didn't know what to say. I'm like.
That's some cutthroat stuff right there.
Teachers don't pay you compliments. And then they do pay you that one compliment and you're just, your mind is, you're mind blown.
Good on you.
I mean, I know, for example, that. Yeah, I mean, you were doing work in your apartment when you were in Japan, and
yeah,
I heard that when Kimura saw your work, he was impressed by it because
I've never heard that.
You never heard that? Oh, so it's not true.
He never gave that.
Once in a while, people tell him these things, but never directly.
So you never saw your apartment,
huh?
Kimura-san never.
He drove by my apartment every night.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I never like saw him like driving by all slow creeping looking up in my balcony. And then, like, I know for a fact, you know, I was along the road that he went, and it was undeniable. I mean, I had like 50 some bonsai trees on that balcony. It was no small. I have a hard time with small, like keeping things reasonable. I mean, I had them inside. I had them in my kitchen. I had them in my butt. It was crazy. Yeah, I went buck wild.
Those apartments are not large, too, for the record. I stayed at the one at Kimura's Garden with Andre and Ryan, and not a lot of room.
And that was luxury.
I was going to say, out of most of the apartments that I've been in Japan, and knowing that we're in Saitama, which has more space than Tokyo proper, pretty large for the standard.
That was posh right there. Yeah.
Oyakata, he would let us have a space in the nursery for our trees, which is very, very generous.
That's crazy. Of him.
That is crazy because he has this. He had this bench where he had the rental trees. He does rental for restaurants and some other locations.
Mm.
Slowly but surely, the apprentice tree started, you know, dominating that that bench, and that was all John and me, you know, getting material of our own and off our own and working on it, and most times selling it to our teacher or our senpais.
It to your teacher.
He would pay good money for them. isn't that cool?
It is cool.
I don't even know what to say about that. It's just mind blown. That's so crazy. Mr. Kimura buying a tree for me. I can't even fathom that.
It is interesting hearing you speak about your apprenticeship, and then
Peter
Warren too. I hung out with his with the chief, Kunio Kobayashi-san. They're all different. You know, they all reflect.
It's house rules.
If you're gonna draw a direct analogy, it's almost like different colleges. Like, you know where the party school is. Yeah. You know where where the Ivy League. Like, but you're boring.
Exactly. Yeah.
For my teacher, the one deadly sin that could make him really mad is when you screw up the coffee. Mm. That was the one deadly sin. You wake up, you're starting your day. We don't have coffee. We have to run to the grocery store to get some coffee, and that would really, you know, start him out in a bad mood.
That's an easy fix, though.
Yeah,
that's an easy fix. As an apprentice, you just make sure that coffee's doubled up.
Yeah,
doubled up. So, what's the goal now? You're done with Japan. You've been back since May last year.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple months over a year now. What are you doing? What are you trying to do?
Trying to figure out where I fit in this ever-changing little world that we call bonsai. Because it's still little, comparatively speaking. But I see it more becoming mainstream. I think you have the bonsai communicators. You'll have the bonsai craftsmen.
Mm-hmm.
You have the bonsai academics. You'll have the bonsai collectors, the patrons of the art. You'll have your average Joe, your everyday practitioner. I still see a lack of bonsai making, whether raw material or deciduous material or tropical material. I mean, just unless it's collected, high quality material is hard to find. Hard to find for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a lot more bonsai makers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if right now it is, but I don't know if in the future teaching will be part of my, you know, my income, mm-hmm. as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But I see myself in the next 5 years way more involved in a nursery or a place of my own, and dedicating to, you know, certain species or more limited aspects of the trade.
Does it concern you that the economy around bonsai is not cultivated to the point where we actually have those identified patrons? You knew as a professional in Japan. You walk up to Iwasaki and you said, hey,
this is a guy.
I got this tree. And he's like, why don't you just go talk to my agent? They'll hand you a check. And you're like, thank God, just paid rent.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
We don't have that in the United States.
Mm. Education. I mean, of course,
you're gonna be teaching a little more than you think.
I know. if I had to choose, I'd be a bonsai hermit all my life.
Sure.
And I'm pretty sure you would.
I've tried to make this place as self-sufficient as possible, mm-hmm. so I don't have to leave. Yeah.
There you go.
Getting closer by the day.
Solar panels.
Well played. Well played, Mirai Life.
Getting closer by the day.
Eventually, the whole team will live here as a cult.
It's true. It's true.
We just need a couple more cabins.
You're on to me now. Now you got it. As the bunkhouses start to expand, and I'm like, hey, guys, why don't you just stay the night, stay the week, stay the month? Why have an apartment in Portland?
Yeah. Why have a relationship with anyone else?
Why do you guys need to leave?
Why have any other hobby but bonsai?
All of a sudden, you guys come out, and your cars don't start, your tires are flat or missing wheels, and I'm just like, hey, somebody stole your shit. I don't know. You got to live here now.
All we have to say is like, well, he's just such a nice guy, you know? He's enigmatic.
Your cameras are destroyed. You can't have any other hobbies but bonsai.
And literally every time you guys are like, gosh, it'd be cool if we had this, like a week later, it's been built, and it's like, huh, I decided to put it in a pool.
Things
you wanted a sauna? Oh, a racquetball court. There it is.
A ceramic studio?
You don't have to leave.
Yeah, right.
A fabrication shop.
I see the grand plan.
That's what I'm saying.
It's getting too real, all right?
It's a little too real, yeah, actually. I'm like thinking back, I'm like, oh, shit. It's kind of already like that.
A couple months ago, I was like, I need a podcast. Where are we at?
Oops.
That's why he started teaching us bonsai, because he's like, well, you know, I'm going to need five more artists.
Once you set the hook.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
You're pretending like it's for us, but...
It's for your own good.
Very, very selfish.
Gotcha.
No, I think. I'm relieved. I'm relieved to hear that Juan also sees the necessity for a space to do bonsai. You know,
I understand that. I mean, like, in my own practice, if I didn't have to worry about money or outside influence or people, yeah. I mean, even though that's part of my practice is interacting with people, sure, I would just chill in
the ultimate creative exercise.
The less people, the better.
Yep. Yeah. Wow.
Is that where we're headed? It seems thematic.
Kendall's tagline.
That's just my outlook, but everyone knows how I feel about that.
Less people, more dogs.
Oh, no.
Less people, more dogs. That's right.
Less people, more
dogs. Kendall literally was like, I want 8 dogs, 10 dogs, and we're like, Kendall's gonna roll up with her pack one of these days.
The pack leader, yeah.
Yeah. I just have one pack right now, just for the clarification.
Which apprentice picks the poop, though?
That
question.
When that protocol needs to be put in place, she'll put it in place.
Well, we're gonna have doggy bonsai fertilizer.
Jeez, if only it could be that good.
Hey, Ponderosa Pine Needle Beer.
Yeah, exactly.
You were looking for a new source of Akadama outside of Japan. Maybe that's it.
That was the secret.
Mm-hmm. Dog replacement shit. For bile gold. Dog shit. sounds like we're getting somewhere.
When
now.
Dogs
Colton,
are fed,
write that
a
idea
salt and
down.
Vinegar chip diet.
Got it. Got it. Got it. In the bank.
Been collecting it for weeks now.
Make it self-sustaining.
Right.
Wow.
Literally. Huh. Interesting. Huh. You think you'll be in Florida for the duration? Is that where Juan
for the
Andrade
next 5 years?
Yeah,
maybe a little north where I can do more maples, I can do Japanese maples. I can do tridents where I am. I can do black pines where I am. I can do some junipers where I am. I would like to explore the durability of collected species that have been grafted with, resilient foliage to the tropical climate. That's something
you
that
to
I would
send
love
you
to explore.
A grafted pondo with black pine?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm gonna do that.
Let's do it.
Do that.
Ooh, what do you think of Cypress, though? Wait, hold on.
Yeah. He's in the Cypress motherland.
Right.
Yeah. We can do some exchange. Yeah.
Wow.
See, I like that.
You like it?
I like
do you work with it?
Ball cypress is not my thing.
What?
Whoa.
It's the foliage, man. I showed you the real foliage, didn't I?
Oh, man. We just had a major discrepancy.
Stream cancel. It's
living in Florida without a love of bald cypress.
You have
what
to find the quirky
favorites?
Ones. You have to find the quirky ones. I don't like just
the quirky. The quirky
yeah.
ones are yeah.
Yes,
what are some of your favorite species though?
Tropicals. I would say bonwood is number one. Conifers. Chimpaco juniper would be number one.
Like that juniper.
Deciduous, I like trying at maples. There's a lot of constructive, creative work that can be done with them with, you know, creative grafting. I think out of the deciduous that we have available, they can be constructed pretty fast if you have the right technique, the right growing skills.
Particularly where you're at. And a good trident sells like clockwork. What's it like working on a Rocky Mountain juniper?
I was so impressed about their resilience. Certainly the wood is harder, way harder than anything I've ever touched in Japan. Like when we were doing that tree yesterday, I mean, in Japan, the degradation of the outer layers of wood is just so fast. It's almost like 25% of it is degraded, and then the rest is just like the purple core, the hardwood. Here, the purple core is all the way out to the almost to the exterior layer. That was pretty incredible to
wild
witness
stuff,
and
huh?
yeah.
dealing with ancient now.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing about North
age,
America.
Immediately you notice the age difference. Mm-hmm. Immediately.
It's a weird thing about North America, man. I honestly think if bonsai is a product of the environment, and you can go to a single state in the nation and see the oldest, tallest, and the largest tree in the world, you know, you've got...
In the same state.
In the same state. You got 5 old growth forests in one state, and then you go 2 states up, and you've got the rest of the old growth trees basically in the nation outside of some lone standards in the East Coast for deciduous. It's just like, you know, it's crazy. Our reference to the natural
game
environment.
Over.
Game over. You know, or a new game. Let's play a new game. Let's start a new game. Let's run it back. Like that 1 a.m. Settlers of Catan. Just like
round five.
That's right. Finding that new frame of mind to be pursuing the game with. You know, like when you look at Japanese... It's no wonder that the maturity of their bonsai as a shape has stagnated at the teenage years of what the tree actually could look like as an ancient representation, because they just don't have that representation.
They don't have that landscape.
No, they don't have that landscape. They haven't seen it. They don't even know. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, all their bonsai shape stops at like basically a, you know.
Which is a derivation from Niwaki, really.
It's a, from Niwaki?
Yeah.
Yeah, from the garden landscape trees. Yeah, I guess it is, huh? I've never thought about that.
The same idealized patterns, right?
How old are the forests in Costa Rica?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah, very, very deep question. Wow. I would say the oldest rocks in Costa Rica, what, like 250,000 years old? But forests are young.
Yeah.
I would say that the oldest tree that I know of in Costa Rica might be a ceiba, 500 years old.
Cool.
Just big, tall, canopy dominant tree. I mean, it's just a massive trunk reaching up for light, because that's the name of the game in the jungle. You have to compete for light.
Get
you
tall.
Grow tall.
Yeah.
You grow tall, you grow fast.
You've seen the bristlecones?
No.
Oh, you haven't? I thought you said you
wondered. Oh, bristlecones. Okay, yeah. I've went there with Peter. We were there for a couple of days, and yeah, it was a life-changing experience.
Yeah.
I mean, the deadwood is better than any sandblasting. It's like real natural sandblasting. It's so sharp that you can cut yourself in that wood.
Yeah.
Did you notice how the degraded wood on the outside just flakes off, and you have this sharp core of fibers. So even like we talk about, let's preserve this checkered pattern on deadwood that looks old. But it was amazing to me to see that in the oldest trees in the world, it's that almost that brand new shiny sharp looking fibered texture to the deadwood, which is kind of like the ultimate state.
Yeah,
the last stage. Yeah, like the, you know, multiple thousand years old stage of degradation.
Yeah Bristlecones next level. Anything else?
So hot in here.
It is hot.
Forest fires.
Summertime.
Forest fires. I said yesterday in my Instagram post, this is the crescendo to a hopefully soon to be forgotten summer.
Crescendo.
What a gnarly year
word.
Of weather,
dude. What,
like the worst winter
crazy
we've had in how many years, and now it's the gnarliest summer.
Just making it so hard to do bonsai.
Hurricanes coming
in full
all the
what
time.
What a privileged stance. The weather's making it so difficult for me to do bonsai.
So hard on my bonsai.
Got plenty of food.
So
I've got water.
Where
I've got
did
resources.
The bougainvillea we're going to work on tonight come from? Can they survive in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, I mean, Juan. You want to talk to us about that?
Yeah.
Bougainvillea, Pacific North. Yeah. Don't go super deep in the bougainvillea hole, because we're going to go there tonight.
Right, I'm just curious.
Okay, cool. Yeah, for sure. They just need a little protection in the winter. I won't let them touch that 30 degree Fahrenheit mark, but if you keep it above 35, you're okay.
I want some tropicals
in
my
life. They will drop leaves for sure, yellow out a little bit.
Yeah.
But tropicals in general, they're very, very resilient.
Hmm.
Like any tree.
I want one
if
in
the
here
roots are
on
strong,
the
top is strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that plan. Can't wait for that to happen. Because that flower, that bodacious bouquet of colors, not going to be there much longer.
Uh-uh.
We're on the tail end of it.
Get those succulents.
Get those succulents. That's right.
I forgot about
your
that.
Round pleasure. Tight. Well, we're excited
wrap it up,
for
guys?
We're excited for the bogey tonight. We're excited to get tropical up in Mariah's studio.
Definitely. Me too.
Much appreciated you coming out from Florida and being a part of this and stuff. It's been super humbling to work with you, man. It's been a real honor.
Humbling is on my end. Really, I'm amazed and at a loss of words. I told you day one.
Cool. We'll keep it going. We'll keep it going.
Definitely.
Right
Thank
on
you.
One. All right. We'll see you guys tonight.